Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Sitting in the press box, joined in the press box by analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Winnipeg Jets falling to the San Jose Sharks by a 4-1 margin tonight, Richard. This is a San Jose Sharks team on the second half of a back-to-back, traveling here last night after defeating the Calgary Flames, losing an hour while traveling, as we were talking prior to the podcast. Probably didn't get into Winnipeg until probably 2:30 in the morning at best. And for the 60 minutes tonight, they were the better of the two teams. And at the end of the game, that's how the score reflected, with a 4-1 Sharks victory.
Yeah, the attention in the headlines of the game is going to be the penalty calls at the end of the game, Drew. And sure, they had an impact on the end result. But I think if you take a step back and look at what the Jets brought to the table tonight, you have to be pretty disappointed. If you were a Jets fan, the intensity was not there. They didn't bring much at all. The crowd was not into it, rightfully so. That was as poor of an effort as I've seen from this team, probably since they got back, or maybe around the time that Claude Noel was let go. And that doesn't mean I think he ought to have been let go after that time, or that Paul Maurice ought to be let go. But the idea that this team is just not bringing it right now, there was very little passion and disappointing effort. You mentioned the back-to-back for sure in a back-and-forth game with San Jose and Calgary, a 5-4 game. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the travel and losing the hour and probably getting here 2:30 and 3 in the morning. But a team you're also competing with for a playoff spot. And this is, to me, this is unacceptable. You're in the middle of a homestand here. You came back Sunday afternoon, an afternoon game. You're playing Tuesday night. You've had rest. The impact of the Evander Kane game wasn't really too much there in that game anyways. And you were angry about it. You talked about it, and you came out. And you came out with this performance. Like, that is unacceptable. And you see the play of Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien tonight. You can't help but, never mind wonder, almost assume that they're being weighed down and affected by the ongoing negotiations and the talks of that. So that has an effect on the team. That's not the sole reason why they lost by any means. But that was, to me, an inexcusable performance from the Jets in a big game against a team they're competing with for a playoff spot.
I agree wholeheartedly with that analysis. We'll go goal by goal through what occurred this evening here at MTS Center. The Sharks opened the scoring at the 15-18 mark of the first period. It's a shorthanded goal by Chris Tierney, his fourth of the year, turnover by Dustin Byfuglien leading to this goal.
You know, it's funny, the play actually starts off with Brent Burns kind of stealing the puck from his teammate, Paul Martin, and Paul Martin was going to grab it, and then Brent Burns kind of banks it, I think it was off the net, and then ends up picking it up and firing it up the middle of the ice. Byfuglien knocks it down, and then Byfuglien and Burns, both very good at knocking pucks down to the blue line. Byfuglien knocks it down, and as soon as he knocks it down, he turns it over to Chris Tierney. And then Tierney comes down the right side of the ice, and Byfuglien is defending him, and he kind of pulls Byfuglien outside and in and crosses over and then shoots against the grain and goes, I think, glove side on Hellebuck there. But Byfuglien's defensive play on that series of events was very disappointing. I just thought he backed off too much. He lost position. He just seemed to be in the middle of nowhere almost. And to watch the replay again to confirm that, but live at least, it was an odd kind of series of events. I understand him trying to keep the puck in on the power play. Remember, this was shorthanded, I should note. But didn't like his defensive performance there at all. And Jets are down 1-0. And just kind of a sign of things to come, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a sign of things to come. Just, it was an apathetic start to the game by the Winnipeg Jets. And, if it's apathetic and it's a 0-0 tie at that point, it's okay. But when the Sharks get the lead, well, hell, the Jets aren't playing that hard. We might as well win this game that we're sitting here in.
Well, 23 seconds later, the Jets score, Drew, and right. You say, okay, they bounce back. But when you score a power play goal and you give up a shorthanded goal, that power play production is nil. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. The next goal, you have Stafford coming on the partial breakaway, and he makes a really nice move around Mark Edward Vlasic, really nice on the left side, which is what he's playing right now and not his natural spot. Makes a nice backhand pass to Nikolai Ehlers, who was driving the net, who backhand tipped it over Alex Stalock. The actual play, it's funny, both goals, the first two goals, were scored on special teams, but this goal was actually an offensive zone, a defensive zone face-off by the Jets. And the the Sharks won the faceoff, and Justin Braun turned the puck over, popped over his stick at the line, just as Byfuglien did. So, you know, there was a turnover at the blue line that leads to a goal off the rush. Same thing here. But I thought it was a really nice play by Drew Stafford. He's played really well, actually, the past couple of games. He's been really impressive to me.
Yeah, he's been one of the few Jets players who've been bringing a proper work ethic and a proper intensity to the game night in, night out for the last, at least certainly Sunday, and again tonight he was one of the more noticeable Winnipeg Jets, which isn't saying a ton. The Sharks made a 2-1, the game-winning goal, as it turns out, at the 19:13 mark of the first period. Joe Thornton with his 9th of the year, it's unassisted on this play.
I don't know why it's unassisted. Maybe it was popped in by a Jet against. We didn't get to see enough of the replays there, Drew, but this play starts in the neutral zone. It's Joe Pavelski at the right side of the defensive blue line. He makes a nice flip pass to Thomas Hertl, and Hertl beats Myers wide. I mean, he makes actually a really nice, it's a two plays. He makes a nice little tip play. The puck comes in front of Myers, kind of tips it, so it kind of pops up in the air, and then he gets an angle on it, and then he burns Myers wide, comes in, drives the net, and the puck pops out, and it looks like Thornton got some form of the rebound there. Obviously, he's credited with the goal, and he drove in, and I think it was Enstrom who lost his guy there too. So Myers gets burnt, Enstrom gets burnt by the top line on the other team, and that's your matchup. You got to control, and I thought the Thornton line was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, and this one, it certainly was a factor of the size difference there between Joe Thornton and Enstrom. He just couldn't handle the size of Thornton in front of Hellebuck.
Yeah, that's fair, but then if you're Myers and you have the length and the reach on Hertl, then absolutely, it goes the other way. So.
Absolutely. I mean, no excuse. I'm just saying it's one of those instances where the size comes into effect. After 20 minutes, as we said, it was a 2-1 San Jose Sharks lead. The second period saw nothing on the score sheet. Really saw nothing in the game. It was one of the worst periods of hockey we've seen at MTS Center this year.
Yeah, it was uneventful, Drew. 11-7 shots after the first, and then six shots for the Sharks in the second, 8 for the Jets, but really uneventful period. And again, that kind of speaks to what I was talking about at the top of the podcast, the life of the game. There was just no life to it. And the Sharks are happy to play that. I mean, they didn't play very well, but you're up 2-1, you're going to the third period. You play last night, you're playing to Western Canadian teams. You're happy with that. You're satisfied with it. And the Jets just didn't push enough. And, you know, eventually it comes down to a push later, which we'll talk about, which caused a ton of controversy. But you have to have it. You have to have something there. And there's just nothing there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know what, like Andrew Ladd had, I think the fight was in the second period, if I recall. It was in the second period. Andrew Ladd got in a fight with Brendan Dillon. And Dillon punched him in front of him after the whistle, and he punched Dillon back. And then Dillon dropped his gloves, and then Ladd obliged, and he dropped his gloves as well. But he was never really into the fight. And I'm not saying you need to fight to turn it around, but remember a couple seasons ago, he fought, I think it was Victor Hedman in Tampa Bay, in an emotional fight against a skilled player. And I think he really beat him up pretty good. But the point was that he was engaged. He didn't even seem engaged in that fight. And opportunities, I think, lost for a couple of the Jets tonight in terms of turning this thing around.
Well, I think your point about the engagement of Andrew Ladd in that fight and really in the game speaks to your greater point at the start of the podcast about the effect that the pending unrestricted free agency is having on Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien. I think you're seeing it manifest itself more and more each and every game as we get closer to the trade deadline and there's no resolution to their contract status.
And Ladd had some opportunities today, and he did create some chances, Drew, but at the same time, you know, he's on the second unit on the power play there, and he's playing on with the guys who are not creative players during his regular routine with a guy like Adam Lowry, so in regular shifts, so I can't see him being overly happy either with where he is. We talked about that this last week on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we mentioned, after 40 minutes, it's still a 2-1 San Jose Sharks lead. The third period was a lot more controversial and certainly a lot more interesting. Let's start with the Tyler Myers game misconduct for the cross-check on Tommy Wingles, number 57 on number 57. Myers gets some, certainly partially in the head, whether or not it was warranted of a game misconduct, I'll ask you in a second. But let's start with that. The game misconduct to Tyler Myers, did you think that was a warranted 5-minute major and game misconduct for the cross-check to the head of Tommy Wingles?
That's a tough one, Drew. It seemed like there was some intent there, some malicious intent to hurt him. He was angry because he got a little bit of an elbow, looked like Wingles did on Myers. So do I think it was for sure a penalty? There's no question about that. Was it a 5-minute penalty? Well, I thought that the right part of his stick hit the shoulder. And if the left part of the stick didn't make direct contact with the head, I think that was a bad call and should have been 2 minutes. Now, I haven't looked at the replay closely enough. We don't have, you know, we've got a quick view here. But if there's any direct contact with the head, I have no problem with that call at all. It was a hard cross check and unnecessary. So I guess I'm kind of saying need to see it again. But based on that, I'm not really sure. In terms of the subsequent, well, you can break that down first if you want, but the subsequent call.
Sure. It's, so that penalty occurred at the 12:55 mark with of the third period. So with about 7 minutes to go in the game, the Jets are going to be short for 5 minutes for the major called on Myers.
I should say live, when I watched it live, I thought that was going to be five in a game. Yeah, it looked really mean, mm-hmm. and it looked like he hit the head. Now in the replay, it was tougher to see. But I can see if I guess I want to clarify, if I'm the ref and that's what I'm seeing live, that's the call. Like, I think that's a fair call.
I think it's only now a matter of time until the refs start getting to be able to review these plays like they do everything else in this game so that we can be here for 8 hours to watch a 2.5 hour hockey game. So the Jets are shorthanded for the bulk of the last 7 minutes of this contest. And then this is where the real controversy starts. Blake Wheeler comes out to chase after a puck as it's been dumped out of the Jets zone. Alex Stalock, the goaltender, foolishly comes out to play it.
Well, yeah, because Pavelski's there. And so maybe Pavelski gets in a race with, and he's not the best skater, Pavelski, a race with Wheeler, who is a great skater. But I don't think it's going to be an issue. Like, Pavelski should have at least been able to get in the way somewhat. And Stalock comes out, and Stalock actually skates really well for a goaltender. But what are you doing? Yeah. And great read by Wheeler there to take advantage, what we thought.
Yeah, so Stalock comes out to play the puck. Blake Wheeler makes some contact with Alex Stalock. It's arguable if it was, you know, it was a combination of Wheeler and Pavelski and Stalock all hitting each other, but there was certainly a little bit of contact. The puck comes loose. Wheeler picks it up, goes around the net, wraps it around into the wide open net because Stalock has been knocked down on the play. The arena is celebrating, but the official waves the goal off immediately and rules that Blake Wheeler tripped Alex Stalock and calls the Jets for a tripping penalty, and it's a 5-on-3 and not a tying goal instead.
Well, I'm going to say that was the game, obviously, because it would have been tied, although there still would have been a five-minute power play, and the Sharks have the sixth best power play in the league, and you can see why, for the most part, the way they move the puck. So I'm not sure the Jets would have won, and I don't frankly think they deserve to win the game. But notwithstanding all of that, that was a nifty play. Live, I did not think that was a penalty at all. So live, I thought that Myers one was a 5-minuter and a misconduct. And live, I did not think that was a penalty. The replay on both kind of makes you wonder. You know, maybe there was foot contact on the back of Stalock. Stalock dove, though. That was a big dive. So maybe call coincidental at most. But I don't think that was just a straight penalty. Now, granted, a coincidental would have negated the goal, and a 4-on-3 for 2 minutes, probably not. I'm not sure the stats probably say it's better, but not too much better than a 5-on-3. But didn't really like that call. I can see why they called it, but didn't really like that call.
Right. I think what we said, we were talking about this, you know, prior to starting the podcast. The part you don't like about it, one, it's not clear enough to wave off the goal, and it's bailing out a goaltender who's made a tremendous error right now, and the ref decides to fall for the dive and the flailing arms that Stalock went through and the machinations he went through to try and draw a penalty. To his credit, he did so successfully. You hate to see the official, you know, wave off a great play by Blake Wheeler for a what I would describe as a very iffy call.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. That's a fair way to put it. I mean, I think the biggest Jets fan would admit out of those penalties, there should have been probably 2 minutes minimum on Myers. Minimum. Like, I don't think there's any arguing that. You saw the crowd reaction. But to have a total of seven there, just doesn't seem right.
No. So the Sharks, Jets don't end up tying it. The goal's waved off. An ugly scene sort of develops here at MTS Center as fans litter the ice with some bottles and some garbage.
I like the yelling. I like that passion of the fans, and they were angry, probably as angry as I've ever seen them. But you don't throw stuff on the ice. I mean, get out of town. First of all, half the people who threw stuff on the ice missed and hit people in the stands. Second of all, it's complete. So that's a hazard. It's a hazard to the players. It's a disgrace. And, I mean, Gary Bettman's in the building tonight. And, like, could you get any worse timing in terms of the crowd reaction and such? I love the passion. Just keep keep the cups and the popcorn boxes to yourself there.
Yeah, I agree with what you said there. The Sharks end up capitalizing on the 5-on-3 power play, of course. It's Joe...
Oh, sorry, Drew. It's Joe Pavelski. I'm just going to cut in. Yeah. I didn't really like what the Sharks were doing. They were kind of on the perimeter, not really doing too much. And I thought the Jets were doing a nice job killing it. And you thought, okay, maybe they kill it here the last 2 minutes. They're going to have a run. And, you know, that's what skill does, though, right? And the Sharks just simply moved it around the circle, or I guess kind of whatever they had there around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And it was Pavelski in the right point to Couture. Quick pass to Burns in the right point to Couture. And over to Pavelski on a bad angle, but on his off wing, he's got a really good shot, and he's a shooter, and he's a good shooter. And he beats Hellebuck short side, and it's basically game over. So it just shows you giving the opportunity, and again, the penalty call, certainly there's issues there, but you give a skilled team the puck for that long, and they really didn't do much for the large portion of the beginning of the power play, mm-hmm. and it's just one chance, so.
That's right. And then so Pavelski gets the goal at the 15:59 mark of the third period. It's on the power play. Assist to Couture and Burns, as you mentioned, making a 3-1. Joel Ward into an empty net makes it 4-1. Assist to Chris Tierney and Paul Martin. That's at the 19:06 mark of the third period.
And that was it there. And Dustin Byfuglien got pretty angry about a non-call earlier. And Ward's able to kind of get it before Byfuglien gets in his way, get the empty netter, I think it was, before Byfuglien gets in his way. But the calls weren't great, and I fully acknowledge that, but the performance before that was terrible. There was nothing there tonight, and you got to have more. And sure, the calls are bad, and maybe you would have got lucky and got a different result, but if you're putting that performance out anymore this season, you're going to have no chance.
Well, I tweeted it that, you know, there's two emotions that occurred during this game. The first one was apathy. That was the emotion for the bulk of the game. And the second emotion was anger. And I'm not sure either of those two emotions will really get you very far in the course of an NHL season. And that's, you know, it was proven out today with the San Jose Sharks defeating the Winnipeg Jets by a 4-1 margin. Fortunately for the Winnipeg Jets, the teams right around them, their immediate rivals, continue to keep on losing. Nashville Predators lose tonight. Minnesota Wild lose at home to the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, as the Tampa Bay Lightning were doing a number on the Colorado Avalanche as this podcast was being recorded. So the Jets will remain 4 points back, although off to a poor start to their significant homestand here, losing the first two games. Looking at time on ice, Dustin Byfuglien, 24 minutes and 51 seconds. Blake Wheeler for the forwards, 20 minutes and 53 seconds to lead all of the Jets forwards. Next in action, Thursday night for the Winnipeg Jets. Thursday at home against Nashville, Friday on the road against the Minnesota Wild. We'll bring complete analysis and coverage to you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. For Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk, doing great work on IllegalCurve.com, gathering audio in both the Jets and the Sharks dressing room. For analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.